Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Now, really looking forward to chatting to our next guest. He's a young man who's making unbelievable progress in the world of motorsport, and it looks like he's destined for big things. Luca Allen, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for making time, Luca.
Thanks very much. Great to be here talking to you.
You first got involved in racing at the age of 9 in 2012, karting. And then I'm going to give the kind of potted history and we can chat to you a bit about the rise. So 9 years old, karting, suddenly at 15, you find yourself in British F4 and you were racing around India and Thailand and Malaysia and the Philippines, all around the world. You had 12 wins, you had 28 podiums from 40 races. And then you caught the eye of a team over in Japan, a Japanese super formula, which is maybe a similar level to F2. It's where, you know, F1 teams come and have a look at drivers. And COVID got in the way, but eventually you got out there and this was halfway through the season. And in your very first race, your first time in the car, your first time at the track, I mean, they were probably hoping you'd just finish. You came home in sixth and you beat your teammate. And that's kind of the very, very short version of your meteoric rise to an unbelievably serious level of racing. Have I kind of got the gist there?
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah. It was a massive struggle getting over last year. It was a hard year for everyone, but luckily managed to get over. I missed the first few races. I was even considering trying to hop on a fishing boat over to China or something just to get there and get in the car. But it went unbelievably well last year. Luckily, it was another massive step up after winning the F4 championship the year before. And I'm just delighted to be in the position I am now and working very hard to make sure I make the most out of it.
Because I guess like in any sport, when you take the next step up on the ladder to the next level, you must wonder, well, okay, how am I going to go against this bunch? You know, so I don't know, were you expecting to come sixth in your very first race and beat your teammate?
I didn't really have any expectations for myself coming into it. The main goals were just to make a good relationship with the team, with my engineer, just so we understand each other and the style of, and just even racing out in Japan, it's a whole different style of anything I've done before. So I was happy with the sixth place. The team was happy and we were progressing from there. And now we're in communication trying to set up a good foundation now for this year.
I think the new season is set to get underway in April, is it?
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah. And so what are you, you're 19, Luca. In general, are you one of the younger guys out there at Japanese Super Formula level?
Yeah, I'm 19 in June.
You're 18. Wow.
Yeah. So in the championship I'm in now, I think the next youngest person, is my teammate and he's 20, 21 or so. So I do have age on my side, luckily, for the next year or so. But there's no rush, which is quite a nice feeling, age-wise. But still, I wouldn't give it to myself as an excuse to not do well.
And so this rise, I mean, you get in a cart at 9 years of age, 2012. Clearly, you must love it. I mean, straight away, you must think, okay, I found my thing here.
Yeah, I think it's one of those kind of weird memories I have doing I can remember getting to the track and seeing the cart and then just going around, just doing it for the first time. And it's like, even just being able to control something within like the throttle, and it sounds a bit whatever, loopy-loopy, but I'll always remember my first time stepping into a car. And since then, it's just kind of been tunnel vision since then, really. I'm lucky to have found my passion so young and to be able to work hard with it.
Yeah. And no, it doesn't sound loopy at all. I mean, 9 years old, the power, the thrill, the speed, all makes perfect sense. And then, so how do you judge that you're good enough, for instance, to go to British F4?
Well, it was kind of through karting. It's more of a kind of natural rise, as you'd say. Just you're not really going there as a professional racing driver, of course, when you're 9 or 10 years old. It was when I was, I think, my third year of karting, I won the national championship along with a few other small club championships. And I mean, the goal was always Formula One since I was five, but it only kind of became, it started to get more realistic after, so I win a few more things. And then I always wanted to make the next step to F4. I mean, that's where I saw the other guys that were older than me. And that's another kind of memory I have. Well, I remember just sitting in the F4 car for the first time then and just kind of looking around and being like, holy, whatever. Just like, yeah.
Mm. And maybe it's too simplistic. Is it F4, F3, F2, F1? That's the general ranking, is it?
Yeah. That's kind of the simple way in saying it. There's plenty of different championships along the way. And yeah, but that's the general ladder.
Yeah, so you're Japanese Super Formula, which, like I said, is kind of F2 territory. But I know, for instance, like the Schumacher brothers, Eddie Irvine, like it's a well-trodden path. Lots of people have come through that way.
Yeah, definitely. And it's starting to become a bit more popular now for European drivers coming over to Japan. It's a great racing culture. The people are nice. The drivers are fast. You get good deals over there. The sponsors and manufacturers are willing to help you. If you can drive the car fast enough, and yeah, it's a great environment to be in.
How fast is the car now then? What's 0 to 100K?
So the car I'm driving this year, 0 to 100K, I think my fastest one this year was 2.8 seconds, 0 to 100 kilometers. And then I think in Fuji, our top speed was about 280. Wow. Nice long straight in Fuji. So yeah. Wow.
Did you pass your driving test?
I did, second time though. it was a scandal actually the first time. I didn't know what went wrong. But anyway, I got over it.
Do you not turn around and say, do you not know who I am? This is an outrage.
No, after my first driving test, and we got in and he was, whatever, telling me where I went wrong. And obviously I wasn't going to sit there and say I'm a professional race driver, but he was just saying, listen, whatever, if you just get your experience with driving, you'll eventually be able to control the car. But I kept my cool and I was like, yeah, no problem.
Oh, that is so good. That is so good. What did you fail on? What did you do wrong?
There's two things, pedestrian crossing and reversing too fast. You know, you have to reverse around the right corner, something like that. Yeah. They were the two failures.
I mean, where does fear is the wrong word, obviously, but and maybe when you're young, even more so, but driving at 280 kilometers per hour, is that in any way uncomfortable? Do you ever think, oh my God, this is just faster than my brain wants to go? Or have you taken to all that pretty naturally? Maybe nobody at your level even thinks about safety.
Yeah, I mean, safety wouldn't cross your mind, but I think for me, and I think for a lot of drivers, once you have all your gear on, once you're strapped into the car, you kind of have just kind of an invincible kind of feeling in a way, in a safety sense. There is that, I suppose, kind of fear factor of when you'd say, look at the data and your engineer tells you, right, you need to take this corner flat, like keep the throttle down, whatever. And you're kind of driving and you're like, there is that slight thing with just pushing the limits on track. Right. That's, you can get a small fear factor, but that's where the adrenaline comes from. That's what makes it fun. So
yeah, that's pretty interesting. So your engineer would go through a track with you and say on different corners at what level you should be at. You break it down like that.
Yeah, very precisely, really. We do. So there could be a practice session, and then we come in and we get up all the data, all the throttle inputs, the brake pressure, the brake distance and whatever. And it would almost be down to the meter kind of, and there'd be different throttle techniques, braking techniques, just trying to get the car to move.
So it's almost more scientific than, you know, get out there, get fired up and do some racing kind of an attitude. It's more meticulous and scientific than kind of instinctive.
Yeah, definitely. I think for any spectators watching at home, it probably looks a lot easier than what goes on behind the scenes. But Yeah, there's, well, I mean, you got thousands of kids competing to be the fastest, faster than anyone. So to be the fastest, you have to work very hard and and really make every little detail count.
I know, because the margins are nuts. The margins are insane. We're talking about, like, it's like you break a touch early and it's like, well, you've screwed that lap up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's crazy. Sometimes you get, like, in qualifying, the top 10 cars could be within, like, a second or something. And it's like seconds, whatever, click your finger, and that's a 2 minute lap. It's the margins are insane.
Something I wanted to ask you was about how you get better. So, like, if I'm a aspiring footballer, there are lots of drills I can do away from actually playing a match. You know, I can dribble in out of cones, I can do shooting practice. With driving, is there anything comparable to that, or is the only way to get better just to get on a track and to race?
That's actually something I've been working on a lot in the last year, in rather than doing my training, running as far as I can, just kind of narrowing my training down to how I can really get the fine details out of myself. And one thing that helped me a lot with that was an ex-Irish Formula One driver called Derek Daly. He has a book. And if there's any young racing drivers who've ever listened to this, it's called Race to Win. And that made me realize how I can work at myself and all the little details, like my hand-eye coordination, my agility, my whatever, rather than just working on running or cycling or that kind of thing. So for me, I've kind of tailored my training to just not so much straining my body all the time, more like working my brain as my heart rate is up, or working on my hand-eye coordination, working on, of course, my fitness as well. And just a very, especially in F3 now, where it's a lot more physical, you need to really be at the tip-top condition. Because, I mean, you can't get to the end of the race and on the last lap all of a sudden decide you're a bit tired, and, you know, when you have five guys on your backs.
What kind of driver would you be considered, Luca? You know, different drivers have different strengths or different ways of getting around a track. What would your, you know, if I was to ask your engineer or your team manager, what kind of driver is Luca? What do you suspect they would say?
That's a good question. I always like the first few laps of a race when the tires are cold and it's all, everyone's a bit, where I like making up, I tend to be quite strong at the start of races.
Okay.
One thing I've been really trying to work on is like my one lap qualifying, like getting a lot, because you don't have too many chances because the tires will go off. So that's something I'm trying to work on. And my consistency has been quite good this year. That's one of the things I was working on. I'm trying to just become a complete driver. I think Michael Schumacher would be the great example for that. He worked on himself that he was just such a complete driver in every aspect. And I think there's a lot of drivers that are great in some aspects and then maybe worse in others. And I saw that in myself a bit at the start of the season. So that's what I'm trying to kind of iron out now.
You mentioned Schumacher there. So, because I was wondering if you're a fan of watching the sport as well. Like, lots of people love doing the sport, but they're pretty bored sitting around for 3-4 hours watching a Grand Prix or whatever. So would you have been a fan of watching the sport and trying to learn from the great drivers in your teenage years?
Yeah, I've never really looked up, say, to anyone on the F1 grid at the moment. There's certain legends, of course, such as Michael Schumacher and Ayrton Senna, and obviously Eddie Irvine, because he was half Irish or fully Irish, whatever. And someone I do like a lot is Max Verstappen now.
Okay.
And as well, when I was growing up, when I first started watching Formula One, when I was about 5, and my dad was a big fan of Formula One as well, and he loved Schumacher and Eddie Irvine with Ferrari. So I just grew up loving the red cars.
That was a cool. That was such a cool era. Schumacher and Irvine with Ferrari was amazing.
I can't really remember it, but
you'd even be that bit young, wouldn't you? Yeah, of course. Have you watched the Senna documentary? I presume it's been on your radar.
Yeah. I love that. I've watched that probably about 5 times now.
Yeah,
it's great. Yeah,
we often get texts in that the Netflix F1 series is really good. I haven't seen it.
Drive to Survive. Yeah, whoever produced it did an amazing job of just kind of getting the personalities of the drivers and more of an insight to behind the scenes. Because as I said, I think from a spectator's view, and you wouldn't blame them. I mean, it just looks like someone's driving a car or whatever, turning the wheel, pushing some pedals. And the Netflix show definitely did a great job at capturing all the different challenges and characteristics of Formula One, let's say.
In between F4 and, as I said, doing brilliantly at F4 and racing across India and Thailand and Malaysia and the Philippines, and now making this step up to Japan Super Formula. Where does Luca Allen's education happen in the midst of all this? I mean, are you trying to do your leaving cert in the midst of all this, or what's been happening there?
I completed school just back in. I got the predicted grades, the kind of COVID results thing.
That generation, okay.
Yeah, so that worked into my favor because I was over to Southeast Asia with the F4 and I took the books with me. Don't get me wrong, I was still kind of, that was my mum's influence, kind of trying to get me to study a bit. But now I'm just studying or focusing on racing really, just trying to. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to look back in 10 years and think, God, I should have worked a bit harder.
Of course.
When I had the opportunity, so Yeah, full focus on racing now.
So, I mean, I guess everybody in Japanese Super Formula now, even those guys a few years older than you, they all want to be an F1. That's what all you guys ultimately are dreaming of in a perfect world. How difficult is that? Like, for instance, how many of the, I don't know how many drivers are in the Japanese Super Formula season this year? Say it's 20, more than that, you can tell me. But how many of them are likely to make it onto the Formula One circuit at some stage?
Not many, less than 5%, I suppose.
Okay.
Maybe even less than that. Yeah, like Formula One is, it's the top 20 drivers in the world, basically.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah, with the way it's going in now, I don't know, like you look at the Formula One grid, there's 4 or 5 billionaires on the grid, and you're just kind of thinking, is it what it used to be with all the different politics and everything? But Formula One's my dream. I want to be in Formula One, fly the Irish flag and get the country involved a bit. That's really my goal. I'd love to just get a bit of a crowd going and get the Irish flag up in Formula One again.
Well, listen, don't worry. We like a bandwagon. So as soon as you get there, everybody will be on board pretty quickly, I guarantee you. And do you know from your times that you do in Japanese Super Formula how close they are to the guys at Formula One level? Like, are you able to look at what you're doing and say, oh, I'm not a million miles away, or are the cars just so different it's impossible to know?
Yeah, the cars will be very different.
Okay.
But I mean, yeah, I don't know. To be honest, I'm not sure what I'd be like compared to the Formula One drivers. I'd like to maybe do a little race against them, see how it goes. But yeah, I mean, the guys of Formula One, they're the best of the best.
Yeah.
Especially the five kind of great drivers that I consider would be like Leclerc, Max Verstappen, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton. I like Daniel Ricciardo as well. And I mean, to get to a level like that would just be amazing. That's what I'm trying to work towards now.
Yeah, no, I take your point. It's not easy. What is it that makes those guys so great? What is it that separates them for you?
I'm not sure. I mean, like, you look at Max Verstappen and he's fearless and he's getting a bit more mature now, but he just goes for every move and might not work it all the time. And you get, like, through the fast corners, he's just so committed. And then you look at a driver like Lewis Hamilton where he's just so smooth. He can always just bang in that qualifying lap whenever he could have the world of pressure on his heels, and he can just drive it smoothly. And that's where the experience shows. And it's just different characteristics from every driver that what I think made Michael Schumacher just the best driver of all time.
Okay. So Schumacher still had all of that.
In my opinion, you might. It's Lewis Hamilton. At the moment, I think it's kind of Lewis Hamilton, Michael Schumacher. I think they're after equaling the records for world championships.
Are they? Yeah. And so what's Hamilton's greatest quality in your opinion? Or is he actually very complete as well?
Yeah, now he's definitely a very complete driver, in my opinion, as well. He has the qualifying pace, he has the race pace. And even though there was one race last year in Portugal, because everyone, of course, loves to say Hamilton is the best car, but anyone in that car, they could win. And I think he would start the Mercedes car or fifth or something, and he ends up winning the race by something like 20 seconds or 50, something crazy or something in the end. And it was just, it was a great display of what he can do. And
yeah.
In the wet weather, of course, he's always been great in the wet. Hamilton.
Yeah. Is it a tough thing to go into the level you're at now and you're driving dictates the success of the team and therefore everybody getting paid, you know, and like keeping the show on the road? There's a few mortgages depending on you kind of doing a good job. Is that the reality when you go in at this level?
Yeah, I suppose it is. It's, I wouldn't say an unfortunate reality, but you just kind of have to learn to cope with the pressure of course, you want to do well for yourself, but especially for me, I want to do well for my sponsors and my supporters and people who've believed in me since I was nine. So I think that drives me on a lot to do my best and work my hardest. But yeah, there's definitely like almost like a financial burden on your head thing when you step into the car, but I try to just kind of put it out and get the job done.
Luca, if anyone is just tuning in now, and we're talking to Luca Allen, who is currently driving a Japanese Super Formula level, which is about same tier as F2, so it's an incredibly high level. If anyone just tuned in, they'll be amazed to hear you're only 18. You know, you're incredibly mature and eloquent and level-headed and just unbelievably impressive as an 18-year-old. So where do things like homesickness come into it? Where does like being over in Japan on your own come into it? Do you take all that in your stride?
When I went over to Japan last year, I think it was 2.5 months I was over there. And to be honest, before I went over there, I just wanted to get over there because I was after not driving the car for about 8 months. And obviously for most part, a year is a long time to miss out in your career. Once I got over, I mean, I've always kind of been fine with homesickness, luckily. You do kind of miss just walking into the kitchen and having someone to talk to sometimes. But I mean, it was fine. I mean, everyone's so friendly in Japan. The team were great at welcoming me in. Yeah, I mean, it was fine. It's worth it anyway.
Yes, it's not a big problem for you.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So listen, amazing. Thanks so much for joining us. I mean, it's great to hear about how well you're doing. And I guess, fingers crossed with COVID and everything, Japanese Super Formula season kicks off again in April. Unlike last year, hopefully you get a good run at it and get to complete the full season and see where you are at the end of it. How long is the season meant to run for?
At the moment, they're looking at April to about October.
Okay, right, yeah. Great.
So I might get home for a month or two in summer.
But yeah. Okay. But it's pretty full on.
Yeah. Hopefully, anyway. Hopefully we can get a good season under our belts.
Okay, well, listen, fingers crossed for you. Hey, I presume if you're coming from your house, you have to be able to cook a decent meal. I mean, I wouldn't like that. I would not like the pressure of having to cook the Sunday roast in your house. So what's a Luca Allen special if he's in the kitchen and wants to prep something?
I like a good steak and chips. Japan now, when I was cooking for myself, it was mainly just rice and chicken or something simple like that. But as you hope, Doreen is not listening now. We'll have to do a little YouTube video off the ball cooking with Luke Allen.
Okay, perfect. Done. Sold. Hey, listen, pleasure to talk to you for the first time. It seems like you're doing remarkably well and keep it going. We might check in with you if you have one of those down months in the summer and see how the first half of the season has gone. But for the time being, Luca Allen, great to have you on the show, my man, and we'll talk to you soon.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
The OTB Podcast Network.